Hey there, hi there, hello there, it is the Carellcast. I am Carell, so very glad you are joining me. I want to talk to you about a lot today. I want to talk to you about tiny miracles, and we're going to start with that. We're going to start with tiny miracles. Now, since I last spoke to you, on one of the days that was just going crazy, it was Wednesday, I went to take a shower, and I turned on the hot water, and the nozzle broke. And the only way to stop the water from pouring out of the shower was to turn off the water. Now, you would think, living in a metropolis like Las Vegas, that I could get a plumber out here and get that taken care of, you know, just in one day. Nay, nay, nay. So I had to live without water, running water, where I had to turn it on, use it very quickly as it gushed out in the bathroom, and then turn it off again. So it was not fun. And as that occurred, and as that happened, what a dilemma too. The plumber came, the plumber was going to come the next day and then put me off a day. Then he excused himself twice during the day, like, oh, I have to go pick up parts. Finally, I just called someone else, and they came over and fixed it for one third the price. And I'm happy to say, as of last night, I now have running water again. But I wanted to talk to you about that today, because I don't know how many of you have gone without running water in your home, or say electricity in your home. You know, when we were very, very poor back in the day, it was not uncommon to have the lights turned off for a weekend. They would get turned off Friday afternoon, and even though you raised the money, you didn't get there before 5, and so you couldn't get turned back on until Monday morning. That's poor, by the way. I've been that poor. I was raised that poor. And so I know what that's like, to have gas turned off, water turned off. It is so appalling in this country that we will turn off someone's utilities because they can't give money. That is so disgusting to me, that families sit in the dark or without gas or heating because they simply can't pay a city government for things that should be free. Energy should be free. Every city should generate energy for their residents. Yes, I'm a socialist. But anyway, so I thought to myself, and I told Steve, I said, or Daniel Charleston, I said, you know, we take so many things for granted, truly we do, that are actual miracles. Being able to turn on a tap and get water out of it that's relatively drinkable, usable for laundry and for whatever, in any room in your house, meaning the kitchen, the bathroom, not having to lug. I collected the dripping water in the bathroom in a 5-gallon thing, and I used that for dishes. I used that for, y'all have been there maybe, okay? So it is a miracle that we have a water infrastructure, and the fact that we need to replace it is obvious. Look at Sacramento. Sacramento is a disaster waiting to happen. The water system, the Delta system. You know, yes, Joe Biden needs to rebuild America. Yes, Pete Buttigieg needs to get on infrastructure. Absolutely. But it is a miracle. It really, go without running water in your home for 2 days. And when it gets turned back on, you will be like, wow, this is the most incredible thing. Go without electricity. You know, the power goes out here in Vegas more than I get laid, quite frankly. And which could be once every 5 years the power goes out. But anyway, the power goes out like probably once a month here. And in those hours where there's no fans, no air conditioning, where there's no music, where, you know, I have a wind-up radio, I have a battery radio, I now have this sport thing from Ion Sport. It's a big square Bluetooth thing that's also got AFM radio, and it's rechargeable. So now I have at least some entertainment. But go without electricity for a day or two or three. You know, we take this all for granted. And now internet. Go without internet and see how you like everyone. Oh, I could do fine without internet. Bull crap. You'd be amazed. You know, it's like when you get your nipples pierced. Yes, I'm making a correlation between internet service and nipple piercing. When you get your nipples pierced, you never realize how many things your nipples touch throughout the day. You never realize that when you put a shirt on that it brushes your nipples until they're pierced, and you go, whoa. Until you walk in a doorway, and you realize that your nipples actually brush the doorway. Your nipples touch a hell of a lot of stuff during the day that you're not even aware of until you get them pierced, and they go, ah, ow, ow. Oh my God, having your nipples pierced. I'll never do that again. Mine grew out. because they can. But it was like having an orgasm and being stabbed at the same time. That's the exact sensation of having. I see why people do it. It is truly. I'm not making this. You go, ow, ow, ow. That's exactly what you do. Ow. It's truly like being stabbed and then having an orgasm. It's really, it's weird. It's weird. Anyway, they were hot. I had hot nipple piercings. They were hot. I wore the best jewelry in them. Oh, but I would never do it again. It hurt. Oh my God, it hurt. And the healing hurt. And you have to spin them around in there as you're showering. And oh, sometimes there's pus. Oh God, no. But when you get them, you realize how many things a day your nipples touch. Go without electricity, internet, water, and realize how many things in your life in a day that the internet touches. From your bank to, you know, whatever, to text messages, whatever. That's all the internet. Whether you're getting the internet over 5G or Wi-Fi or whatever, that's all the internet. Try going without that nowadays, and you'd just be amazed how much it touches. So there are these tiny miracles. Things like electricity. You know, being on all my monitors and tea is a tiny miracle. First of all, it came to me from probably Sri Lanka or Thailand or, oh no, this is Harney and Sons vanilla. So this came from Harney and Sons. It's vanilla. Oh my God. But there's water to make the tea, and it was made in my Breville electric tea maker. There's this cookie that I made. It's peanut butter. I made the peanut butter from scratch in my Breville food processor. This is a delicious cookie. These things couldn't have happened without power, without water, without all kinds of technology and resources. And yet we take that for granted. We act like it's not important. No, we don't have to spend money on the water infrastructure or the electrical grid. An entire state, Texas, went out electrical grid. A whole state. The West Coast has gone out. There's a whole movie. Where were you when the lights went out? There was a baby boom afterwards. You know, the fact that we don't want to spend money on these things means we're stupid because they're miracles. It is a miracle that we have clean drinking water. There are so many countries where they do not. It is a miracle that we have pipes that go from an aquifer into your house so you can bring water from miles and miles and miles away. The Colorado River, not that far from me, but from y'all. You can bring water from 1,000 miles away into your home. That's remarkable. So I want us to celebrate these tiny miracles. I want us to celebrate the joy of the little things. You know, and I want you to post down below your comments or tweet them to Really Carell or contact at reallycarell.com. What are some of the tiny things, that the things that people just take for granted that you actually find miraculous? You know, because I don't take it for granted anymore. I really don't. And well, I never really have, because I have gone without these things in my life. So, you know, once you have, you realize what a tiny miracle these little a grocery store. What a tiny miracle a grocery store is, that you can go there and get produce and all these other things in one place. That is a remarkable thing. We every day we have encounter all these remarkable things, and we just the post office is a miracle. You can put 50 cents on something, and within a week, it's there to their address, at their home, anywhere in the country or the world. That's just a tiny little miracle. So what tiny little miracles? The KitchenAid stand mixer, there is a tiny little, the Brava oven, what a miracle. There are so many tiny little miracles in our world that we don't often recognize. I want you to recognize them. Water, electricity, internet. Oh, don't forget Patreon, patreon.com/reallycarell. Thank you all. I'm sorry, /Carell. Patreon.com/Carell. YouTube, you can get to at my website. Just go to reallycarell.com. Takes you right to the YouTube. Go subscribe. Let's talk about dead white colonial racists, shall we? That's always such a great topic. Dead white colonial racist. Because it's amazing to me how when someone like a dead white colonial racist dies, there's all these thoughts and prayers and, you know, all of that. And I'm just like, why? So Prince Philip is dead, the Queen's husband of 70 years. Oh, and there's national mourning, and it's just all this stuff. And I thought, well, he was a white colonial racist. His racist remarks are well documented. Well documented, by the way. It's not like I'm just making a statement. You can go and you can see statements from him that were completely and totally racist. And no excuse for them. So he's dead, this white colonial. He's out of 100 years of life, he was a direct, in England, he was a direct beneficiary of colonialism. I mean, truly, he remembers when they took over India. You know, she was queen, I believe. No, Victoria was queen. But you know what I'm saying? He was a direct recipient of the goods of colonialism, of white supremacy, of racism that England perpetrated for decades and decades and decades. And we know with Meghan Markle that they haven't really stopped perpetrating it. So we have this dead colonial racist guy. And I think to myself, well, what do we, you know, how are we supposed to deal with this dead colonial racist guy? And I thought to myself, you know who I find it more tragic? And like this rapper, DMX, he died of a drug overdose at 50. And everyone's mourning him and saying rest in power and all this. He was a drug addict. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have compassion for drug addicts. We should. But he was a rich black man who had all the money and fame that he wanted. And he fell into the drug hole and wouldn't climb out and died because drugs kill you. And so I thought to myself, shouldn't, you know, compassion is a limited resource like water and electricity and things I was talking about earlier. And it is a miracle, compassion. And I thought to myself, shouldn't we spare the compassion for somebody, I don't want to say more deserving, you know, but it's okay to say it's sad about DMX. It is sad when anybody dies of a drug overdose because it's preventable. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Corey Monteith. And we feel badly when it happens. But again, Philip Seymour Hoffman was an entitled white guy who was winning Oscars and had tons of money. And what was so bad in his life that he had to medicate it? Well, you don't know his pain. No, but I can tell you it can't be that bad. And if it is, they're messed up in the head. It's their inner problem. Because if you can't make the best of your life when you're having the best life has to offer, then there's a problem. And we should be compassionate for them when they're alive, not when they're dead. The compassion for DMX should have been to get him off of drugs. And I'm sure everybody tried with like Michael Jackson. But literally, if it takes locking someone in a room for a week to where they detox, I mean, if then the first thing they do is leave and go get a fix, then you have to distance yourself and say, yeah, I'm done. So I don't know how I feel about dead white colonial racist or, you know, other people who really worked hard to die. Now, Prince Philip was 99. That's a great run. You know, he had a great run. He was the Queen loved him for 70 years. I feel badly for anyone that loses their partner of 70 years. She's probably thinking like, well, she's going to die soon, too. I mean, she's old. So it's bringing up mortality issues in the family. Harry is going back home. Meghan is not. Her pregnancy, you know. Because there are women that have to work right up until their 9th month of pregnancy in demanding jobs like maids and servants and house cleaners here in Vegas, whatever. I mean, they can be 7 months pregnant and still working. But somehow riding in a limo, flying first class, being transferred to another limo, and then taken to a palace for a memorial service is just too much for Meghan Markle. Now, I love Meghan Markle. I do. But don't use your pregnancy as an excuse that you can't go to a funeral. Because unless you're spitting out the baby that day, you can do anything. Pregnant women, unless she's got some sort of preeclampsia or some sort of thing where she has to be on bed rest. So using a baby that's not here yet as a reason you can't go to a funeral. No, just say it's a family of racists and, you know, I don't want to go after this interview. Just say that, you know. So when it comes to compassion, when do we say, no, I'm not going to mourn that loss? Look, I don't know Prince Philip, and I do know that he did, in many ways, behave like a white colonial racist. And so, I personally won't miss him. Now, his family will, and the British country of England will. But me personally, I won't miss him. DMX, I won't miss him. I don't listen to his music. I don't watch any of his productions. I don't. So I won't miss him. Do I have compassion for him as much as I do any other human? But I don't have more because he was famous or, you know, whatever. It's like, oh, my heart breaks for his family. No, my heart breaks for the families of these homeless people. My heart breaks for the families of the people who died of COVID. My heart literally breaks for those people. Their life was going, you know, however it was going. And then a virus that was, you know, mishandled comes along and kills their loved ones. My heart aches for them. My heart aches for the people that are going to bed tonight, not knowing how they're going to pay their rent, because I've been that person. Not, you know, my heart aches for the people that have to use these payday loan centers that we now find out cater to minorities. No duh. Who then have their cars taken or their checks garnished and put into more extreme poverty because their only crime was they're not making enough money. My heart breaks for those people. Oh, it's horrific. Does my heart break for a 99-year-old dead white colonial racist? No, it doesn't. Does my heart break for a 50-year-old rapper that basically killed himself? No, it doesn't. I have compassion and empathy as a human for what happened, but does my heart break for them? No, it doesn't. My heart breaks for people who literally have no control over their situation. They are powerless. They have to go down to, so they're locked out of their unemployment account. They can't get in unemployment. They, you know, all this other stuff. My heart breaks for them. Because that's a terrible, terrible way to exist. And it's stressful and it's horrible. And we don't do anything about it. We don't say, we're going to end this kind of poverty. We're going to end this kind of suffering. We never say that. Oh, we have thoughts and prayers for the victims of this and thoughts and prayers for these or that. But we never really do anything with that compassion. I did a song called Compassion. I never did a video for it, or I'd play it for you today. But, you know, we never do anything about it. And so, dead white colonial racists dying, people ODing on drugs that are wealthy and rich, I'm running out of room for them. There's too many other people. There's a trial going on right now of Derek Chauvin, who obviously killed George Floyd. Now other cops are saying he killed him. Cause of death, the restraint. Should he have been restrained? No, his chief said no. He killed him. I have such horror and grief for the family that has to sit through this obvious death by murder. Obvious. It's obvious he killed him to the world. I have compassion for every African-American that, again, has to sit and listen to one of their lives being the worth being debated. It's like with the gays. You know, we'll go to bed and the next morning we'll wake up and the world is debating our marriage. The world is debating our relationships again. It's demeaning. It's demeaning to the entire African-American community that Derek Chauvin is even on trial. He should just be put away.
Well, everyone deserves a trial, Carell.
No, he should have pled guilty. He is obviously guilty. So having empathy for Prince Philip and the Queen, okay. Having empathy for DMX, okay. But having real, genuine emotion for them because they passed, no, I've run out of room for that. It's like Matt Getz. I'm actually happy that's happening to him. I'm actually rejoicing that he's finally, you know, having something bad happen, repercussions. All right, don't forget, it's reallycarell.com, reallycarell.com. That's how you get to the website, YouTube. That's how you watch all the free videos. If you like what I do, it's patreon.com/Carell, K-A-R-E-L. And there's a dedicated CarellCast app at all the app stores, so you can download it for free. Please do. Please download it for free and have a good time. Having a good time. All right. You know, I was at lunch today at one of my favorite places, Veggie Eat Express. It's a vegan Vietnamese restaurant. And I was talking to the owner, and she asked me if I'd seen Seaspiracy yet. This is a new documentary. Now, you know, one good thing that streaming has done, it has brought documentaries really into the mainstream, because now you can access them very easily on Netflix and Hulu and all the other services. So she asked, have you seen Seaspiracy? Everyone's watching it. And I said, no, I have not seen it. And she said, oh, it's, you know, it's horrible, and they show them slaughtering dolphins. And I said, I don't need to watch documentaries about how horrible we are to other animals, because I know how horrible we are to each other. And if we'll do that to other people, then we have no respect for animals. For instance, gun violence. If we truly cared about other human beings, we would outlaw all guns in the world. We'd literally melt them down. All of them. Except, you know, police, military, that sort of thing. But every civilian gun would be taken, thrown into a giant, you know, fire and burned. All of them. If we really cared about elephants and rhinos and stuff living, we would send the military to protect them. And yes, the U.S. military. This is a global issue. If we really cared about each other, we would do things like demand auto manufacturers make cars that are not deadly. 35,000 people a year die in automobiles. They don't need to. They can make a car that you don't die in. It would just cost them more. If we really cared about the environment, really cared, we would do something much more than we're doing now. We would even sacrifice. We'd even give up things if we really, truly cared about the environment. The fact is, humans don't care about themselves. And I know you're going to just say, that's all they care about. No. If we really cared about ourselves, we'd make sure we had clean air, clean water, no stress, that work and corporations were not our overlords, that slavery did not exist anywhere on the planet. If we really cared about ourselves, we'd lift everybody out of poverty, because poverty is man-made. Nature didn't create poverty. We did. We would lift everyone up if we really cared. If we really cared, we would take drastic actions, not small little time. We would take drastic actions to help each other, to help the planet. If we really cared, we would put ourselves in front of people that are out there hating on Asians, like this karate person, Olympic karate person being accosted in a park in San Francisco verbally, and all this Asian hate going on because this a-hole of a president decided to call it the Wuhan virus. If we really, truly cared, we'd end homophobia tomorrow and say, of course they need to be equal. Of course we should pass civil rights legislation for all. If we really cared, we'd be out there championing a woman's right to choose, demanding that legislators stay out of their uterus. If we really cared about each other, we would do so much. So no, I don't have to watch C-Spiria or any documentary that shows how horrible. Now, I could counter this and say there should be documentaries made about how wonderful people can be to each other. Because as horrible as we can be, there are some that can be equally as wonderful. But they're in the minority. It is so much easier to find, you know, I watched this thing, Who Killed Sarah? It's a Mexican or Spanish soap opera. Sorry, I have something in my eye. Soap opera on Netflix with subtitles. And one of the spoiler alert, if you're going to watch it, just spoiler alert. One of the sub stories is that there's a tape that exists, and this tape is a snuff film where they kill someone on it. If we really cared, we would seek out and find any person that's ever made or making one of those things. And there is an industry. They are made. There you can, if you have the means or the connections, you can buy a movie where someone is actually killed on camera. So a species that would do that, elephants don't kill each other on cameras. Giraffes don't kill each other on cameras. We're the only species that does that. And even if it's one, you know, trans people are less than 1% of society. And yet they're making all this to do about trans people in sports and anti-trans in Arkansas. You don't even have to treat them medically. Why don't we do that for, say, people who make snuff films? Well, that's not many people. What? It's less than 1% of society? Why do we pay attention and single out those we hate instead of those whose actions are hateful? Because we're not a great species. So, C-spiracy, I don't have to watch it to show me again that we're not a great species, that we think if it's here, it's ours, including other humans. There are humans here that think because another human is here, they can do whatever they want to them. We're not a great species. We do not treat each other with kindness and respect and dignity. We do not lift each other up and out of poverty and out of despair. We don't. Some of us do, but as a whole, we do not. You know, you are what you do, and you do what you care about. Whatever you're doing right now, today, tomorrow, yesterday, you did because that's what you care about. Oh, I wanted to do this. No, you didn't. You do what you want to do. That's not true, Carell. Yes, it is. I don't want to go to work. Yes, you do, or you wouldn't go. You want to go for whatever reason. You want to go for money. You want to go because, but whatever, you want to go. No, there's a difference between want and have to. No, there's not. You do exactly what you want to do every day. And if that isn't what you want to be doing, then why are you doing it? So as a whole, humans want to hate each other, want to fight, want to argue, want to not empower, want to rule. That's what humans want to do because that's what they spend all day trying to do. Humans don't want to coexist, to love, to care. Nope. They want to fight, rule, be better than, claim dominion over. So yeah, I don't ever need to watch a documentary that shows us the atrocities of what we will do because there's no limit to the atrocities that we will perpetrate. There's no limit. We've done genocide against people because their noses were different. In Rwanda, the Tutsi and the, I'm forgetting the name of the other tribe. I'm sorry. But we did, you know, we condoned this. We let it happen. Bill Clinton, let it happen. We've let genocides of the Armenians, the Jews. Genocide. We have a term. We have a term for when a group of people decide to kill a mass amount of people for no other reason than who they are. Ethnic cleansing, genocide. We've done it to each other so many times, there is a word to describe it. That's sad. All right, I am Carell. You be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody. Sorry I was not here Wednesday. I had no water. I was waiting for a plumber all day that didn't show. It was quite a mess. It was a mess. Everything. The production of the Dorians was taking snags all day. It was a really bad day Wednesday. Steve said I need to cleanse with sage because it was a bad day. But I'm here, and you will get Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. So don't forget to go to reallycarell.com or patreon.com/Carell. However else you hear me on, anywhere you find podcast. I'm there. I'm everywhere. iHeart and iTunes and all of it. Spotify. You can listen to me everywhere. So please do. Have a safe and happy weekend. I will see you on Monday. It's very exciting. The Dorians a week from this Sunday on Reverie. You got to watch. Get Reverie right now. It's free. R-E-V-R-Y. It's on smart TVs. It's on Samsung. You can get it's on Roku. Get Reverie, please. Get it. All right, because a week from Sunday, you got to watch with me. All right, till Monday. See you then. Bye.